Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. Well, I hope you're doing really great tonight. If you're joining us for the first time, my name's Kenny. I get the honor of serving as one of the pastors here. And we've got a family gathering happening. So let me just go ahead and say this up front. Man, if your kids are running a little wild, if they're talking, all that kind of stuff, it's totally great. We know it. We expect it. It's going to happen. You don't need to worry about it. You don't need to pinch them. My mama, when I was their age, she would give me a little pinch to try to get in. I didn't like that very much. So you don't have to do that. And so I promise, your boy's going to try to keep it short tonight. Don't you laugh at me, Yvonne. Don't you laugh at me. I saw that eyebrow raise. Well, it's great to see you. We've been in a series called The Lord Builds the House. So if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to open it up to two places really quickly. You can go to Psalm 127. And then I want you to go ahead and you can mark over to Mark chapter 2. So you can go to those two places. If you don't have your Bible, we're going to throw some scripture on the screen here in a minute. Also, I want to just tell you that the Home Church app is preloaded with all the scripture and the notes in it. You can download it. Go to sermon notes. It's all right there. This entire series has been built around this one verse in Psalm 127. It's Psalm 127 and verse 1, and it says this. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." The entire series has been built around this idea that as we build our houses, and it's both, we're talking about helping build the house that God's building here at Home Church, the corporate body, but at the exact same time, we're talking about your spiritual house. We're trying to help you understand what it looks like to build your house in the ways of the Lord. The heart of it is that we said, man, as we continue to go on, as we put effort and energy into this, we don't want to look back over time and feel like that we did this thing in vain. I don't know if you've ever had that happen to you where you spent a lot of time, effort, energy, maybe even dollars, investment, and then all of a sudden you saw it crumble. We don't want that. And so a lot of this has been helping us as a house come around some language around our vision and our values. And a lot of it comes from what Jesus gave his disciples. You'll see this in Matthew chapter 28. Right before Jesus ascended, he gave them a mission that he put them on. And the mission was stated like this in Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And a lot of people stop right there and they think that's the Great Commission. But there's another part to this where he goes on and says, "And teach them to obey all that I've commanded." Then he made a promise, "And surely I'll be with you until the very end of the age." And so as a church, we adopted this mission that Jesus gave his disciples as our mission. The Home Church mission reads like this. We feel like God's called us to reach people who are far from God and teach them how to live as they follow Jesus step by step. Through this series, we've been leaning on that idea of teaching our people how to live. Across my journey being a pastor, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people who have said, "Man, I know Jesus, I've got my Bible, I just don't know what to do with it." And so this series is meant to help teach us how to live as we follow Jesus step by step. It's language that we call our family values. And Jesus said in the scriptures and in Genesis, he said, as one people speaking the same language, we've begun to do this. Nothing we plan to do will be impossible for us. And so tonight, we're going to continue on in this series. We've been building our values around this acronym of BUILDS. And so if you'll recall, and if you've missed any of this, you can go back and watch it online. But we started with the B. Anybody remember what the B stands for? Build to last. Very good. Build to last. And then we got to the U. Anybody remember? Unwavering in truth. So we want to build to last. We want to be unwavering in truth. And then the last time we got together in person, we got to the I. Anybody remember what the I was for? Invest with intention. Very good. Last week, we didn't get a chance to gather in person, but tonight we're going to continue on around this acronym, and we're going to get to the L, and I'm just going to tell you, it's one of my favorites. It's going to be one we probably talk about a lot. And so the L in the acronym of BUILDS, these family values for us at Home Church, the way we feel like God has called us to live out our life, The L stands for this. It stands for love shows up. Will you say that out loud with me? Say, love shows up. I want you to know that love is a very popular word, but most people misunderstand the definition of it. Love is not a feeling, okay? Love is not a feeling. And I already felt a little bit of a gasp, like, oh, love is not a feeling? Love is not a feeling. Love is actually visible. Love is an action. And Jesus kind of gives this idea, and the way that we say it is this, is that we believe that love leads, we believe that visible care is able to be seen, and we don't just say that we love, we show that we love. Jesus gives this new command to his disciples in John chapter 13. He says this, he says, a new command I give you. This is for us, believer in the room. This was a new command he gave. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. You've heard that before, right? Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Jesus said that people outside of us will know who we are. They'll recognize our identity being a follower of Jesus by how we love one another. Have you ever really slowed down to think about that? It's a very common phrase, it's something very often talked about, but I think most of us never really slow down to think about what does that actually look like? Because the truth is that we can tell people that we love them all day, but at some point, love is actually not a feeling. Love isn't even a word. Love is an action. And so it leads us to ask the question then, if love is an action and people should be able to see, I got these thick glasses, right? It's hard for me to, I'm kind of blind. If I held them up, like there'd be a fire start back there. You know, we don't want to do that. But the idea is if we look, we should be able to see love. That's what Jesus said, that people will know that we're his disciples because when they look, they will see us love one another. So the question is this, how do we do it? As followers of Jesus, how do we do it? How do we actually love one another? And as home church, we feel like this is the definition for us is around this value, is that the way we define it is that we think love shows up. We think love shows up. Now, there are lots of examples in the scripture that kind of talk about this idea, but there was one, especially as I realized we were going to have a family gathering, that just made so much sense that I think preaches this. So if you have your Bible, join me in Mark chapter 2. And I want to read this story to you really quickly, and then we're going to have a little bit of fun. You guys want to have some fun tonight? Well, we're going to have some fun. Whenever the kids are in the room, you know I like to turn it up a little bit. I'm a little extra, okay? Y'all want to have some fun? Josiah's like, no. No fun. Mark chapter 2, if you have your Bible, it reads like this. There's a story that I think perfectly defines this value of love shows up. Here's what the Bible says. Starting in verse 1, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large crowds that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Are you seeing this picture? Jesus comes back to his home living, right? Not his hometown, but kind of where he's base camped out of, where he's living at. And he gathers everybody, hears he's showing up, and they start to show up. They fill the house. Bible says there's not even room outside of it. And then verse 3, it says this. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, watch this, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Oh man, this is a wild, beautiful story. I want to just paint a picture here for everyone just to see. Jesus is in this house. It's so crowded that there's not even room outside. And these men come and they bring their friend who is paralyzed. They can't get into Jesus. They're hoping that Jesus will heal him, but they can't even get in. They can't even get really outside the house. And so then the Bible says that they take him up to the roof. Now would be a really great time. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have anybody on the roof. The school would be really upset. But I want you to think about all of that, that they ripped open the roof and then they lowered this man down. This man has an encounter with Jesus. Not only does he get healed, but he has his sins forgiven. It's a powerful story. And to me, it is the perfect picture for us tonight to see how love looks in action. Love shows up. So we're gonna have a little bit of fun tonight. And so I'm gonna show you four things, but we're gonna actually show you some things. So we're gonna ask for some participation, okay? So let me just get myself set up here, all right? I got myself a little sheet here. This is gonna basically be a mat. Okay, that's not going great. Good enough. All right. So here we go. We got a mat. Okay. We have a paralyzed man. Well, not really. And we're not prophesying over his life. But would y'all help me welcome Pastor Grant to the stage? Yeah. Pastor Grant's moving a little slow already. Okay. All right, Pastor Grant, would you lay here and assume the position, please? We're not prophesying anything over Pastor Grant. But from here for the next few moments, Pastor Grant, we're going to assume that he is paralyzed. Does anyone kind of have an idea of what paralyzed means? Any kids in the room? What does being paralyzed mean? Yeah, what's it mean? Absolutely, very good. It means there's a condition where your body has some inabilities to move, right? And so now here's what we're going to do. Men in the room. I need a bunch of men in the room. I just need a bunch, like 8, 10 of y'all. Can y'all just come and hang out, come help me? It doesn't matter. Don't think there's too many. If just come on around. Any others? It's okay. Come on. Jonathan, come. We're going to need your help, Jonathan. We're going to need your, Travi, come. We're going to need your help. We got big men and little men. Good. Come on around. All right, I have 4 points I want to preach to you tonight, okay? Point number one is this right here. We're going to throw it on the screen because I don't have my notes. It's more manpower than was needed. That's point one. Can I just be a Bible teacher to you for just a moment? One of my favorite things to do is actually read the Bible. But here's the truth. Most of us don't actually read the Bible. So I have a question for you. How many men did the Bible say were around to help take care of this guy? Does anyone? Yeah, the Bible said four, right? The Bible said four, except the Bible didn't just say four. Can you find that verse for me and throw it back up here? Because here's what the Bible actually said. The Bible said there were some men who came and then four carried him. There were some men who came, and then there were four who carried him. This would be more accurate of the picture. See, in our mind's eye, you know what we saw? We said, oh, four of this dude's friends went and got him and carried him and did all this stuff. Well, that's partly true. And so this is one of my Bible teacher little things that I always like to encourage you, is actually to slow down and actually read what the Bible says. Because so many times we have what I call a lullaby effect, that we just kind of gloss right over things. We think, oh, well, there were four guys. But the truth is that there were actually more than that. And here's kind of the thing that I want to preach to you in this, is that there's always this idea. This is actually a beautiful picture, because this is what we actually need. Especially in the church, we actually need more men than are needed. But here's one of the truths that happen, especially inside of the church, is that especially if you go to another country and they come to America and they walked in the church, you know what question they would ask? Where's the men? Because in America, most of what happens in the church is actually done by the women. And so I want you to see this picture that there's actually more men than needed. How many men carried? How many men carried? Four. Okay. Who thinks you guys can rally around? Which four of y'all want to try to carry Grant? Because listen, I'm just going to warn you, you're going to carry him. Who's got it? Who's got it in them? Pick him up. Let's go. Four of you. Grab the corners. Oh, we got one. We need one more. All right. Hold him right there. Let me teach you something. Let me teach you something. You guys good? You feeling good? But here, watch what happens. Especially in the church, here's what happens. Men show up and a few guys are doing everything. The others stand around. You know what they say? They don't need me. They got it. They don't need me. I don't even have to show up. There's some guys that's got it. Pastor Kenny's going to preach. Kenan's going to sing. They got it. They don't even need me. Especially because I got a bunch of men on the stage. Can I just tell you that I understand that there's going to be specific roles that some people carry, but just showing up is a tremendous part of being a part of the body. Your presence matters more than you understand. And so I know you might be standing around because y'all are watching these guys. Look, Matt's strong and he's flexing. He's a little sweaty, but that's okay. And you know what? Some men are probably thinking, they're like, yo, I'll jump in. I'll do it. And then there are others. And look, see, even some of the younger ones want to get involved. Could I just please hear me? Men especially, okay? I just want to invite you in that just because you might not necessarily have a role right now, you might not have a part to carry, you might not feel like you're playing a part, could I just tell you that just showing up is an act of love, and you know what else it does? It preaches to your family what's important to you. So now, here's what happens. So we're going to do a little exercise. You guys ready? You need to set them down for a minute? Okay. Here we go. I want you to take them down the stairs, out the door, around the atrium, back down, and back up. And you guys can follow him. Go ahead. Y'all can follow him.
Can we readjust?
You can set him down and readjust, whatever you need to do. All right, hey, as they're doing that, I'm gonna show you point two, okay? As they're doing that, let me show you point two. Point two is this, love makes a way, okay? Say that with me, say, love makes a way. Is anyone thankful in the room that you have people love you enough to show up and handle you and love you and care for you and be in places for you that honestly, it wasn't so easy? Look, Grant, he's small, but I'm telling you, those four dudes, I promise you, right now, you know what they're thinking? Yo, can we just sit him down for just a second? Pastor Kenny can't see us. Can we catch a break? Love makes a way, though. This group of men that showed up in this Bible story, this group of men, they realized that their friend had a need, and they did whatever it took, and four men carried him. But the rest of them were around. And then I want you to think about the extents they went to. Think about trying to get Grant all the way up the stairs into the rafters. And then think about ripping a hole in the roof. Think about all of the different things that these men actually had to go through to prove that they loved this man enough. Y'all can bring him right here and set him down. Y'all tired? You can set him down. Good. Good. He's right there. How you doing?
I'm good.
You ready to be healed?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I want you to think about all of the things that they did to see their friend get in front of Jesus. It would have been easy for them to be like, yo, Grant, like, bro, it's too crowded. And man, maybe Jesus will be back another time. So man, maybe we just take you back home. But they didn't do that. They took the added effort and they went and they got him up on the roof. Then they, y'all, this is wild. Could you imagine it's your house and all of a sudden somebody's ripping open your roof? You're like, homie, what are we doing? That's crazy, right? But I need you to know this, that when love shows up, nothing can stop it. You're unwilling to stop in that way, okay? I wanna tell you a quick story and then I'm gonna let you guys go, okay? In fact, I'll let y'all go ahead and start. No, you gotta wait. One more second. Love shows up, and this is a powerful testimony. A few years ago, one of my really good friends, his name is Aaron. He and I were on a church staff together, and I got to know his family really well. Katie and I had moved back to Charlotte, and one day I got a word that his mother had sadly, tragically passed away while on vacation in the Dominican. And man, like, you know, it would be really easy for me to call him or send a text, but man, there was something in me that said, go. Here's what's wild. Aaron and I lived about 2 hours away. He lived in Columbia. I came home, I told Katie, I was like, I gotta go to Columbia. She was like, why? I was like, Aaron's mom died. And she said, okay. I drove to Columbia. This sweet woman, she died literally laying on a beach, had a heart attack with a margarita in her hand. And so I went to the Mexican restaurant, got a $200 gift card and some flowers, and I went to Aaron's door and I hugged him and we cried and we laughed and we went and had some margaritas to celebrate his mom. But let me just say this to you. I promise you that anytime Aaron Chauvin talks about Kenny Mills, that's the story he'll tell. Love shows up. But can I also tell you, because lest you think I'm an incredible person, because I'm not, I messed this up as well. There have been times along my journey that I've made decisions to purposefully not be able to show up, and I can create all the excuses that I want to. But a couple of years ago, I was invited to a wedding for someone in our church, and I made a decision that I wasn't able to go. And that decision to not show up created hurt and pain and devastation in ways that I didn't even understand. But I just need you to understand this idea that love shows up, and both it can be a powerful thing, it can be a testimony. But honestly, man, when people need us to show up in their life and to love them and we don't show up, it also speaks a word too. And man, I had to walk with the shame and the guilt of that decision and what that meant for people that I genuinely did love. But remember, I told you, feelings don't matter really when it comes to love. It's how we act. It's what we do. And so I need you to understand that love makes a way. It is not easy to carry a man around. It is not easy to break through a roof. It is not easy to say no to your family sometimes to be able to say yes to go serve someone else. Love is not an easy action. And I'm gonna talk more about that in a second. But love makes a way. Could I challenge the married couples in the room for just a minute? Can I just remind you that I know in the early days that love was, it was a feeling and a heart flutter and it was all that kind of stuff. But along the way, you learn this truth that love starts becoming an action, not a feeling. Married couples, could I challenge you tonight to reignite the act of love in your marriage? To serve one another, to chase after one another. Could I also speak to those who are, you are an adult, but your parents are still living. I've carried a heavy conviction lately that one of the ways that I failed is in showing my mom how much I love her. And a lot of times I will speak it over her, but man, just showing up, just calling my mom. Young adults, could I just challenge us to be better at showing our parents that we love them, not just telling them? And I know we got some kids running around, and I know y'all feel like, okay, my kid's going crazy. I wanna talk to the busy parents in the room. I know that life is busy. I know you got jobs. I know your kids run ham. I know school and sports and gymnastics and all the things are driving you all over the place. But I'm just here to remind you that your children, you can tell them that you love them all day long, but I'm telling you that they will feel your love and see it by how you act as well. You can tell them all day, I love you, and never show up for them and they won't believe you. Love shows up. While I've got these men still up here, I'm gonna hit point number three, and it's simply this. Mats, they can get messy. You know why mats get messy? Because messy people are on them. I've been involved in leading people since I've been 15 years old, from working at the YMCA into full-time ministry. And I'm gonna share this truth with you out of great love, but people are messy. Y'all don't have to amen, I already know. People are actually hard, aren't they? Sometimes it's hard to love people. Did you ever stop to think about this story? He's okay, it's totally fine, come, hang, it's totally fine. Have you ever thought about this story and the messiness? We don't know how long this man had been paralyzed. We don't know what his total affliction was. Here's all we know, that his friends loved him and wanted to see him be healed, and the hard work was showing up. How long did they know him? How hard was their heart broken over their friend who had been in this place? But it was still messy. Let me be very practical. I love this. This is church, man. This is awesome. I love it. Let me be practical. Everyone wants to be consoled, but few are willing to be corrected. Everyone wants to be lifted up, and not many are willing to work through the scary part of being let down. You understand what I mean by that? Everybody wants to, hey, you're great, you're awesome. But there's the scary part of relationships where at some point, man, they're gonna let me down. How hard do they drop me? Is it soft? Everyone wants to be healed, but very few are willing to go through the process of healing. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Love is actually a two-way street. Do you have any idea how many people I've tried to show up for and love, and because of either pride or arrogance or embarrassment that they say no? They say no, thank you. Do you have any idea how many meals we've tried to pay for people? Like, no, we don't need your help, we're good. How many times we've tried to show up to the hospital like, hey, I heard you're coming. No, we're good, we're good. Friends, it's one thing for love to show up. It's another that when someone loves you enough to show up that you actually receive it and let them love you. Let them care for you. Just a few weeks ago, we were dealing with some things in my house, and Pastor Russ over here, Pastor Russ is our care pastor. He and Maggie are an incredible part of our church. And Pastor Russ reached out to me and said, hey, Kenny, I know your kids are a little picky, but can we bring you a meal? And he was like, I'll bring the kids whatever they want. And you know what I said to him? Oh man, we're good. I'm sorry, Russ. Mac and cheese. We all make this mistake. Can I just give you a warning? I know this is so in some way, hey, love shows up, okay, great. But can I just give you a warning that showing up and loving for people is messy because people are messy. It's hard because people are hard. And it might not turn out the way you expect, but let me just say this to you, it's worth it. It's worth it. Some of the best relationships that I have in my life are around the idea of showing up, and they showed up for me. It's incredible. All right, boys, y'all can go back up. Y'all can go sit down. Appreciate you. Well, he's healed. God bless. Take your mat and go. Your sins are forgiven, Grant. Can y'all say thank you to these men? Here's the last part. Part four, it's the saving faith of friends. The saving faith of friends. If I'm really honest with you, it's this part of the story, this last little verse, that it both wrecks me, and I'm be really honest, it messes up my theology a little bit. Because here's what Mark 2 and verse 5 says. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he's talking about the faith of the friends who carried their paralytic friend, ripped open the hole in the roof and dropped him down. The Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, that's when then he healed and forgave the sins of the paralyzed man. And that's wild. Here's the thing I just wanna leave you with tonight. I think that so many of us far underestimate the faith building that friends and family bring us. There's an old saying that I love. It's that you can't do life alone. And too many times we try to do life alone. And I'm just telling you, you're missing out on the blessing that God has given us in the way of relationships and community. I want to invite you into that form of community. Maybe you don't have it right now. I look around the room and I see some incredible, actual, beautiful groups of community who shows up in mighty ways for each other. Like I see the Thomas crew over here. I see almost their entire group that gathers all the time. And man, they go out to eat, they hang out, they do all kinds of things together. Something happens around them, they're showing up. Y'all are a blessing to each other. And it builds the faith of those around you. Honestly, it builds the faith of those of us on the outside who watch you and see how you show up and love others so greatly. I see other examples. I see back here, there's another group that gathers back here, the Truxels, Aaron and Tyler. They have a group of multiple families that meet in Denver. And I know that they've all got busy schedules. They've got a lot going on. But just the other night, I know that during the snowstorm, they got together, a few of them, and went out and had some dinner and talked about being prepared. I see folks like Heather and Jeremy's back there and the community that they brought around us. How many people have y'all invited to home church? And not only that, you've invited them, sitting right behind you, Morgan and Noah and others that you've invited, and not just that you've invited them, but man, y'all are family and you love each other, you show up for each other. I just see it all over the place. And if you're listening to this and you're like, yo, that's something I want, can I just tell you that it's available for you here? There's a couple of ways you can find it really easily. Number one is this: one of the best ways you can get connected is serve. You can serve, be on a serving team, sweat with us a little bit. The other is to join a home group, because we have many of them available right now, and even some more. Our friends, the Kirchhoffs over here, are about to start a group that's gonna do some Bible study and things like that in their home. We have some others that are building. Jake is actually restarting a rally group that's gonna meet for young adults. I mean, these are things that are beautiful and they're continuing to grow. And so I just wanna tell you that you can access all of this stuff through the Home Church app. You can sign up for a group and join it immediately. And you can get plugged in and find community that will show up for you in this way. But I can't leave you tonight, and this is important. So everybody, listen in. Boys and girls, I want you to listen to me for just a second. This is the most important thing I have to say to you tonight. And I know that was a lot of fun watching our daddies come up here and carry around, but this is really important. Is that the reason that we actually know how to love is because Jesus first loved us. And the way that Jesus showed us his love is, first of all, he showed up in the earth. Jesus, who is God, he showed up in the earth. He became flesh and he dwelt among us. And then not only did he show up, but he showed us how much he loved us, because he went to a cross. And many of you guys know the story, right? Jess, Joe, Jackson, we know the story. What happened to Jesus on the cross? He died. Jesus, he hung there and he died. And in that moment, Jesus showed you how much that he loved you, because he paid the price for you. For God so loved you that he came to the earth. And the Bible says that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. There's no greater example of love showing up than Jesus. Jesus showed up and he showed us his love and he hung on a cross and he died and they buried him in a tomb. But we got good news, don't we? Don't we, Mills boys? We know that there's good news. What happened to Jesus after the third day? He raised back to life. He brought himself back to life. He showed that he conquered death, hell, and the grave. He walked the earth for 40 more days and then he ascended into heaven, where right now he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he loves you. And he sent me here today to remind you that love shows up. And the primary way that we know it is in the example of Jesus showing up and loving us. And then he gave that warning. He said, if you are his disciples, you will love one another, and that's how people will know. And so how do we love one another? We love like Jesus did. We show up. We're willing to sacrifice. We're willing to give of what we have been freely given as a way of saying, I love you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.